Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so it's a 2-9 football team, so the storylines oftentimes with the Texans have little to do with the actual results on the field. So one of the storylines with the team is Jeff Driskel. The team kind of turning the 2021 season into Jeff Driskel's personal fantasy camp, where he was a third-string quarterback and not a very good one.
Jeff Driskel, give me a break.
Right. So they turned him in, or they're turning him into a tight end. There was a story last week. He's going to get some run on special teams. Seth, before we get to Brevin Jordan's scouting report on Jeff Driskel, I guess just to refresh for the people, because you know his position coach Andy Bischoff had said that other than Lamar Jackson, there's very few people that have the athleticism of a Jeff Driskel. But you're in.
He said only people like Lamar Jack. Like that's the category you put him into.
Right, Lamar Jackson. Right. Yeah. So and cited his 40 time as evidence of that. So before we get Show's scouting report on Jeff Driskel, what was yours again about the 40 time and everything else with his athleticism and whatnot?
I felt like he was a track athlete who had no actual change of direction skills, so that it might look great if he can run straight ahead, or much like other Florida athletes of the past against college boys. But when it comes to try to actually change direction or juke somebody, it was the most physically painful thing I've ever watched in the preseason when he tried to change direction. And this is borne out by his workout times. His three-cone drill is awful even by quarterback standards. You extend that out to tight ends or wide receivers or anybody. And the three-cone drill, which measures change of direction and whatnot, it's not that good at all. But he is very fast. I'm watching a Florida highlight of him right now, and he looks like somebody who's running downhill but out of control. When you try to change, oh my gosh, Sean, every highlight I'm watching here of him against college boys, to change direction, he takes like three steps. He does James Harden gather step to go from left to right. This is going to be a classic case of a guy who's athletic in college, but it's not athletic in the NFL, other than straight ahead,
okay,
which doesn't really do you a whole lot.
Okay, so that's...
Yeah, so it pisses me off, Sean.
Right.
It pisses me off that he's taking up an active roster spot.
So that's the Seth Payne scouting report. If I could sum up Brevin Jordan's scouting report of Jeff Driskel in two words, and we're about to play it, it would be looking straight at Seth Payne and saying, says you, because Brevin Jordan had this to say yesterday about his teammate Jeff Driskel.
Jeff Driskel at tight end.
Is Jeff Driskel at tight end. What does he look like? Could he go and play?
Believe it or not.
Oh, God. I'm listening. I want you to sell me on this.
Believe it or not, man, Jeff Driskel is freakishly athletic. Freakishly athletic. And people don't – I know. It sounds ridiculous or whatever.
It does.
People don't know he's freakishly athletic. He has damn near – excuse my language, but he has, like, the strongest hamstrings out of all the mid positions. So, I mean, for linebackers, tight ends, kickers, quarterbacks, he has the strongest. We weekly test every week on hamstring strength and stuff like that. He's always first. Explosiveness, he's always top of the list, top three between all the mids. He's hit 22 miles per hour before. He's freakishly fast. Like, he is freakishly fast and freakishly athletic. So I think, once he gets his opportunity to go out there, man, y'all are going to be like, all right, like, this is solid move for him.
Brevin, hold on, Brevin, you're not being a little strong when you say freakishly. That's the word you want to use.
He is an athletic cat.
All right, so there you go.
He is really fast. He's really fast. He can't throw a football to save his life. Now, I think, quite literally, I don't think he could throw a football to save his life. I think if like he tried to do that bucket drill and it was to save the world's population, we'd all be dead. Thanos would be having his way with us, man. Jeff Driskel versus Thanos is not even Yeah, the reason his hamstrings are so strong is because they're ridiculously tight. He can run straight ahead in a line with a slight deviations to the left and right. And again, he seems like a hell of a guy. Don't get me wrong. And he is freakishly fast. But this is an insult to non-quarterback athletes everywhere that this guy has been given a chance in the regular season with an active roster spot for their little experiment here. It's garbage, man. And so Jeff Driskel's, and I never say this, I don't like being the guy that says somebody can't do anything. Jeff Driskel will not work out as a non-quarterback athlete in the NFL. He just flat out won't. I defy you to prove me wrong, Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby. And it's yet another one of our many embarrassments here with this current franchise.
To you, the part that was most interesting to me there was Brevin Jordan reciting like chapter and verse all the different biological analytical stuff that they're doing. Like, you should see, he gets up to 22 miles an hour on the thingamajigger, and he's got the tightest hamstrings as measured by this and that. Like, this team is, I have no idea what the other 31 teams are doing in the area of sports science, but the Texans seem to be using it. And I've actually got some Caserio audio here from Texans radio in just a second, but did that jump out at you, Seth? Like, you've got a rookie player sitting here, and it's almost like they've been indoctrinated now, like, on this sport. Hey, man, you should check out the hamstring tests that we do every, like, hamstring tests? What? What are we doing here?
Yeah. I like that they do that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to take a scientific approach to injury prevention.
Yeah.
And because your imbalances between your quads and your hamstrings and all that stuff ends up making you more prone to injury. So, and they've been doing that for a while. I will give credit to Jack Easterby for a lot of that stuff. I think he is very forward-minded when it comes to using all the potential technology in sports science to gain an edge. That part of it is good. So, and I've told you this before. I've talked to people who used to be with the organization who are anti-Jack Easterby, who will still, you know, say that okay, he does do some good things, and he's, you know, it's not, they don't mean to paint this picture of a guy that is, you know, completely inept or doesn't do anything good for the organization. It's just on the sum total of it, they've got serious objections about some things.
Yeah, I guess where I'm coming out, I'm coming at it more from a fan standpoint, from the perspective of when I hear Brevin Jordan say that, I'm like, oh God, is it being used? Because I'm with you, that stuff is productive. But I hope it's not being used as a justification for things like keeping Jeff Driskel as a tight end on the team, right? You know, it's
right. Yeah. That almost, when you start worrying a little too much about that stuff above and beyond actual football playing ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a really successful high school coach at my high school. He's a soccer coach, girls soccer coach. And I remember out of nowhere one year, he made his determinations for who started based completely on physical measurement tests, like combine style tests. So he was like testing their agility and everything. And he like benched three girls that had been all league the year before. It was weird. He just went completely out of the box because I think they'd been close to winning a state championship, but they never had. So he was just going to take this completely scientific approach. It lasted like 2 weeks.
Okay.
Because he realized like, oh, this team sucks. I'm going to put the girls that can actually play in the spots where they can play instead of basically, that's an extreme version of it. But yeah, you worry a little bit sometimes that, okay, wow, Jeff Driskel's impressive hamstring strength is the reason that we're going to give him a shot and all this other stuff.
Yeah. Like, is this being used as a justification for what are clearly, in my mind, just poor roster usage and bad football decisions? Here's the audio that I was alluding to before. This was, you tell me if this is the same phenomenon, Seth, that we just talked about. Is the science being used to justify something that doesn't match the eye test? This was Nick Caserio on Texans radio talking about Rex Burkhead.
Wait a minute. Like, this guy's faster than 4.7. So I'd say this is a good example of a player, time speed and game speed. Like, when you watch Rex play, you don't sit there and go, he's slow.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some people do, but I certainly don't. So, but he made immeasurable contributions to our locker room. One of the best teammates we have is selfless, did whatever he has to do, and he practices as hard as any player that we have on our team here currently. Like, you know, we have all the GPS and the data, and his loads and his measurements are as high as any player on the team on a week-to-week basis. It shows his effort, his attitude, the way he works and the way he prepares. And, you know, he's gone out there and he's made some plays to help us, you know, to help us win.
Reaction?
Yeah. No, I think that I'm a fan of that stuff. Like, because, and this is why. I think that Caserio's talked about this before in various interviews where when you look at the analytics and the data, Caserio's got a good approach where they might think they know what they're looking at, but as they start to look at the data over time, they realize, okay, we can draw some conclusions about this, but we can't draw conclusions about that. And, you know, you might have a tendency to think, oh, okay, wow, guys that maybe perform really fast on Wednesday and Thursday in practice also end up playing great in the game. That's your hypothesis. But then you look at the data and you find out that maybe you have to tweak it some way or another. I like that they use that stuff because I think Caserio has demonstrated that he's got an open mind about how to interpret the results. Where sometimes in football, like I told you with that high school coach I was talking about, sometimes they'll get an idea and a theory about how they can use stats or advanced, you know, physical measurements, and they'll just go in a completely wrong direction with it. I don't think that that's an issue with Caserio. I do sometimes worry with people that come out of New England if there's almost an overemphasis on finding the scrappy underdog. And that's because it's something that has served Bill Belichick well. A lot of the coaches that he hires, the players like Julian Edelman that really work out for him, he likes taking these scrappy underdogs from lesser football schools who are just going to fight, scratch, and claw. You know, Matt Patricia played football at RPI. Caserio played football at John Carroll, as well as Josh McDaniels. Like all those guys, they're these guys that are not necessarily physically gifted, but they're going to give you everything they've got. I think sometimes if you go too far with that, you end up with a whole bunch of scrappy underdogs who also aren't actually good at what they do. Belichick's really good at figuring out the difference. But that's the danger is always that, okay, the temptation is to think, yeah, if I just had a team full of Rex Burkheads, boy, we'd win every single Super Bowl. Every now and then you got to throw in a Randy Moss type, you know, or a Rob Gronkowski or somebody like that.
What would you think if you were a player on the Texans and you heard him talking there, you heard Caserio talking there about them monitoring, like mentioning in an interview how hard somebody practices based on the GPS data that they get, the bioscience data that they get during practice. What would you think as a player on that?
I don't know. I don't think it's a surprise to them. Like they all know that they're being monitored on that stuff. Yeah. Like that's just the way it is now. It's changed so much in the last 5-6 years, and it's. I mean, one of the kind of battles going on right now is who owns all that information. Like a lot of some players' representatives feel like, hey, the team shouldn't be able to, you know, use that information against you, or they shouldn't be able to keep you from having it. It's some other team. I think the Texans are pretty open about it. They want the players. They want the players to know that, yeah, it's being used to evaluate you, but it's also an asset for you.
Yeah.
If you look at that, and it's also nice to be able to show some guys, like, look, especially rookies maybe, that, look, I know you tell me you're working hard, but here's how fast you're moving on a Wednesday practice compared to all the other receivers or all the other running backs.
Yeah.
So tell me what I'm missing here, because you're faster than these guys on paper, and yet you're not moving as fast in actual practice.
Yeah, I guess
some players might not like it, but a case where I'd say, oh, go screw yourself, work harder.
Yeah, work harder. No, I absolutely. I'm with you. Look, I'm all about information and data, and I think I have no problem. I don't begrudge them at all gathering the information. I guess my thing is I hope they're using it for the right reasons. You know what I mean? Like, I hope it's not being used as a justification for Jeff Driscoll to be a tight end, or some sort of justification that Rex Burkhead can be a key cog in a really good backfield. I don't think he can. I think he's the best of what's a really subpar backfield here.
Yeah, because, you know, everything that Caserio is talking about there with Burkhead, where you're saying, yeah, he measures a 4.7, but he's faster than that on the field. The danger is that you can see With Burkhead, it makes sense. Like, you can see on the field that he's faster than a lot of guys, running backs that you might think of as a 4-7 running back. I mean, he's don't get me wrong, he's not Derrick Henry. But there's something, there's a disconnect there. I guess sometimes what I would worry about with a guy like Driscoll is that, yeah, some guys measure really well. And sometimes those guys end up getting taken in the first round because they measure really well as athletes. But it doesn't transfer to the football field.
No.
And sometimes, even if they're fast on the football field, it's almost they don't have any rhythm or feel for the game. They don't look athletic. Like, Jeff Driscoll is a guy that when he's running, it's very, very fast, but it doesn't look like a live, supple athlete as he's doing it the way actual non-quarterback athletes are on a football field.
Yeah, fierceness, a ferocity to it, absolutely. Someone says, I think someone on the text page put it, how about the can you play football test? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I like that one. Pain and
Pain. That's what I always kind of wonder about, like, Jeff Driscoll. Like, honestly, I don't know why he was a quarterback in college. Like, he should have, at some point, I always see people write about him as, like, he never lived up to his potential as a quarterback in college. And I feel like what they're saying is, wow, for a guy that's as fast as that, it seems like he could have done more. Because it's not based on his throwing ability. At some point, they should have moved him to tight end or from wide receiver or something and given him a shot at that way.
Did you think, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday, just shifting gears real quick, Seth, where are you on a 3-game suspension for someone who uses a fake COVID vaccine card, like Antonio? For those who haven't heard, Antonio Brown and two other players on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers suspended for Fugazi phony vaccination cards.
Yeah, I'm okay with it because it was really dumb. I think stupidity should be punished above all.
Just to be clear, where I'm coming at you from, I'm surprised it was only 3 games. That's, I'm not coming, I don't think the guy shouldn't have been suspended. Like, I think he absolutely should be suspended, and I don't walk around scared of COVID all the time. But this is something that's obviously a huge focus of the league right now, and I mean a massive focus of the league, vaccinations and COVID and trying to prevent it from affecting the season at all. And here you got Antonio Brown, who, by the way, has run afoul of the NFL law several times before. And I'm surprised he only got 3 games. That's where I'm going. I'm surprised he only got 3 games in this whole thing.
I think one of the things that affected it was that I know it's not clear how long he was actually at the facilities while being unvaccinated and keeping up the ruse. Because when he got there and somebody told him, hey, Antonio, you could get in big trouble for this, he got vaccinated. So I think at least part of it is that it's not like he continued it on for several months until they just found out about it a couple weeks ago. So maybe that's perhaps if he had done it longer more of it.
Okay. Then he should be suspended even longer. I would respect the guy. I would respect the guy.
Stupidity.
I would respect the guy even more if someone walked up and said, hey, dude, you can't do this. And he'd be like, screw you, man. This is COVID. Like, you know, if he hated the rules and was actually taking a stand, I disagree with him. But if he's taking a stand, if he was so dumb that someone had to explain to him, dude, you are forging a document basically right now. And he's like, oh, really? Oh, crap. Then he should be kicked out of the league for stupidity.
Yeah. This is one of those situations where I think sometimes people that have, if they're, I don't want to say anti-vax, but if you're, whatever, if you feel like it shouldn't have been, if you feel like the rules shouldn't be this way or what have you, if that's your argument, okay. But don't confuse Antonio Brown for a conscientious objector. Like, there was no part of Antonio Brown where he was going to take a stand against tyranny or anything like that. It was Antonio Brown being the same dumbass who didn't wear footies when he got in that minus 50 degree cryotherapy chamber.
Yes.
This is just Antonio Brown, the dullard. Yeah, this is not Antonio Brown making a stand for freedom in America or anything else like that. It's just him being really, really dumb.
All right.
That's, again, kind of like with Aaron Rodgers, I feel like people on both sides of the issue should join hands over this and say, like, oh, okay, these two guys are just like, they're just selfish professional athletes.
Right.
They're actually not saying, they're not doing anything to support anybody's cause on either side. They're just kind of selfish.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.